There's a new sheriff in town. It's Heath Cummings, hosting for Adam Azer. Adam's on vacation, and actually I think it's just that they wanted to have a podcast composed of the most hated fantasy analyst per Reddit. That's me, Heath Cummings, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. How are you guys doing?
Awesome.
Great.
This is going to be awesome, I think. A podcast without Adam, with me being the host, because everybody always says, Heath's the host. Well, now we're going to find out that Heath's actually awful at being the host, and everybody will think, man, I wished Adam was back. We've got big news from the weekend, and Adam, one of the things he told me was, don't bury the lead. Make sure you talk about the most important things first. So there's nothing more important than Jordy Nelson, likely out for the year with a torn ACL. Three things came to my mind here. First off, and I got this question a lot on Twitter, I'll see what you guys think right off the bat. What does this do for Davante Adams' value?
We think he's going to end up taking Nelson's role. He was already playing as an outside receiver, got a ton of targets in their first preseason game. I think the door is open for him to get close to, if not over, if not way over 1,000 yards, just by opportunity alone.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you want pieces of Aaron Rodgers' offense whenever you could possibly get it. And for anybody who drafted prior to Sunday, you are in love with where you got Davante Adams, which was probably in the double-digit rounds. You may have gotten for a dollar in your auction. And if you're drafting any point post that, I was in a draft Sunday night with analysts from other sites, and he went in the fourth round. And I think if you're looking at – it's a three-receiver league, so receivers were a little heavily overdrafted. But I don't think he's going to get much further than round five.
Over, under, wide receiver 25.
Oh, he's a top 15 guy for me.
Top 15?
I think that Davante Adams, if you look at his numbers from last year, when he had eight or more targets, he did not have less than six catches or 75 yards. And that was four times, including the playoff game against the Cowboys.
Okay, I do have to give Adam a little bit of credit because I've never heard anybody, and you guys talked about it, but Adam brings it up more than anybody that I've heard in the industry about handcuffing your wide receivers. And it wasn't really something I even thought about before. Well, I had my home league draft on Saturday. I had Jordy Nelson as a keeper. And thinking of Adam, I took Davante Adams, and I think it was the 13th or 14th round. And I'm really glad
That's just stealing.
I'm really glad that I did now. So, number two, second thing that came up.
Is Jordy Nelson big in your hometown, given where you're
from? Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. He is, for sure. He fits the profile.
Yeah.
Who becomes, because I think Davante Adams was the 11, 12, 13 sleeper wide receiver.
Right.
Who becomes that guy now? Is it Jeff Janis? Is it Ty Montgomery? Is there anybody in that offense that the third wide receiver that if one of those other, if Cobb or Adams gets hurt, this guy now explodes?
Well, I think it's Janis. He's the first guy on the field once Jordy went down. They like Ty Montgomery. I think you'll see them use their tight ends more. But, you know, you go back to the offseason with Mike McCarthy, and he said Jeff Janis has the chance to take a big step forward for us. Mm-hmm. And then he had just a bad training camp. But he, you know, scored a touchdown in the preseason game. He's a big physical guy, 6'3", you know, can run a little bit. He fits the mold of a Packers receiver. He's just raw. And so I don't know how many people need to draft him. Like, I was surprised. We've done three drafts already, and we're already doing ad drops for those leagues, including our podcast league. And I don't know if anybody's picked up Jeff Janis yet. Maybe the podcast league because it's 14 teams and it's PPR.
Right.
But I was surprised that he did not get picked up. I considered it in our IDP league, which has very deep rosters, just to take a flyer on him. But I couldn't find somebody that I want to drop just yet. But I do think that if you're just taking a flyer on somebody, again, you want pieces of this offense. You want pieces of Aaron Rodgers. And last year, Davante Adams had decent moments, 66 targets on the season. If you can get in the 13th round a guy getting 66 targets from Aaron Rodgers, maybe for a week or two he becomes somebody you can plug and play in a three-receiver league.
But that's what his role will be, is for fantasy owners. It's a plug-and-play guy, a potential reserve. And, of course, you're drafting him on the chance that he can end up getting into that lineup far more often. Because I think that the Packers were headed toward being – three-receiver set dominant to begin with, which means Adams
maybe
was already,
not now, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it really just comes down to – it's kind of like what's going on with Indianapolis. Remember how I said that Philip Dorsett is kind of like in a camp battle with Kobe Fleener for playing time? I think that's what's going to end up happening with Jeff Janis and the tight ends and with John Kuhn and how often they want to actually have a fullback behind
hopefully
Aaron Rodgers.
All the time.
You want as much Kuhn
as much
possible?
As much Kuhn as possible. Okay.
Hold on. The one thing I was going to say about Janis is he does replace Jordy's size. Mm-hmm. And to a degree, and maybe right on, he replaces Jordy's speed. So I love the idea of taking him late.
We've talked about all preseason, Rodgers and Luck were kind of 1A and 1B.
Not anymore.
No.
Is this a clear Luck is one and Rodgers is two? But he falls no further than two, though.
It's funny. We were actually going to do a video, me and one of you two, today, because I just got back from Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. I was going to do a blog on why Luck is better than Rodgers, because mm-hmm. did have that question. I think it was actually going to be you, Heath, because you were an Aaron Rodgers guy. Mm-hmm. You like Rodgers more than Luck. It is interesting, though, because, I mean, we all obviously have our take on what happened with the Packers and how we think they're going to react. I don't think Rodgers falls past two.
No.
And I just had this conversation. If anybody's been watching our videos, Brady Quinn, former NFL quarterback, was not thrilled with my comments that you just replace Jordy Nelson with Davante Adams and things go on as they were. I don't believe that. Clearly, you lose Jordy Nelson. Mm-hmm. That's a huge hit. But I don't think this offense loses as much as you think, because he makes those guys better. Mm-hmm. Rodgers is going to make those guys better. And the reason you have to like Aaron Rodgers, and maybe why Rodgers would have been better than Luck and still could be better than Luck, they are going to a much faster-paced offense. We all talk about the Eagles and how great that offense is. Well, give Aaron Rodgers 10 more plays a game, that could be a pretty significant thing when it comes to his fantasy value.
Okay, email of the day, since it's on this topic. Assuming Nelson has ACL tear, how much of my $100 fab should I spend on Adams? 10-team PPR league, wide receivers pretty deep.
He went for $9 in our auction today, right?
I can double-check, but yeah, I think that's what he went for.
9 or 10. I think that's about right.
So 10% of your free agent budget?
See, I think it's got to be more than that, because when he went in our auction, it wasn't like he was the first guy off the board and everybody had tons of money to go after him with. By the time he was actually nominated,
I wouldn't spend more than $10.
He was 65th and he went for $10.
Okay.
I could make the argument that it's worth spending as much as 15 for him of your fab budget. It's early in the year. He's somebody who should contribute right away. I think he's going to finish as a top 20
receiver
this year.
He has his auction, or he's already had it?
No,
this is a fab.
Rosters
budget
are set. This is just fab.
Oh, then yes. I'm sorry. I was confused. I thought it was going into the draft. Yes, you're right, Dave. It should be more than $10.
Thank you.
I agree.
Okay.
Like Mark, 15, is 15 good, or should it be like more like 20?
I think 15 to 20.
I think 15 to 20 is fair.
The thing
as
is, it's
as
a 10.
You think 15 to 20, you're almost saying bid 20.
It's a 10-team league, though.
Right.
There's a lot of people that are going to be on the waiver wire.
But how often are you going to get a shot at a potential top 24 wide receiver?
That's true. Okay.
Off of waivers.
Marquise Pouncey
$21.
Likely needs ankle surgery.
Does need ankle surgery.
Will have ankle surgery.
Will have. Just had. Moments ago. No. How does this affect Le'Veon Bell?
Hurts him.
Enough to put him behind. I mean, is he second, third, fourth?
I dropped him from the top spot for Peterson. I've been, you know, 1 and 1A with those guys for the last couple of weeks, and it just made the difference for me. I know. I got a lot of questions about this, about Phil Lodeholt and losing that, but it's two different animals,
right?
You know, middle of the offensive line for running back is much worse than the outside guy,
and an A plus lineman too. Like Pouncey's
I think you lose a guy who. The Steelers' offense is still going to be great. But now you're talking about two-game suspension, which takes him out of the equation for your first two games, and now not having his best offensive lineman. Forget about where he ranks. He's a great offensive lineman. He's the best guy on the Steelers. So you take those two things into equation, and it's nitpicking. And I may still move him down past Lacy Bell. I just think these guys are so close. Charles is right there, too. Why risk it? You know. So if you're starting to nitpick, the nitpicking gets a little bit worse with Le'Veon Bell as you start to break things down further and further.
I'm still debating Bell versus Lacy.
Okay.
And I haven't had a chance to actually go through with it all yet. I've still been watching preseason games.
Does this have any impact at all on Big Ben in the passing game?
A little bit.
I think it's bad all the way around, but not to the point where you're going to say, well, I don't want anything to do with this.
If there's one guy, one receiver that it affects more, is it Martavis Bryant?
Because of the deep ball
factor?
Because
of the deep ball factor.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't think Antonio Brown.
I do know that Pittsburgh's schedule is no picnic.
Uh-huh.
They've got a lot of tough defenses, a lot of tough defensive lines in their future. This is one injury that will hurt them.
Okay, Reggie Wayne reportedly signing a one-year deal with the Patriots. Any interest at all in Reggie Wayne?
Only after I draft Chris Johnson.
Johnson ahead of Reggie Wayne?
Well, you know he's a running back, so you want to make sure you get that position.
What if it's a three-wide receiver league?
Even still.
It's how many years has it been since Reggie Wayne had 1,000 yards?
Oh, it seems like it's probably been three.
I think it was Luck's rookie year, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds probably about right.
I got it.
Yeah, Dave would pull it up. I mean, this is it.
I think it's pretty clear that he slowed down. And if the Colts yes. didn't re-sign him, then you kind of know where he's at and what you're getting with him.
But
he's had over 1,000 yards three of the last four seasons. One of those years he missed nine games.
Right.
There's nothing you can do.
He was bad last year.
Hasn't had more than six touchdowns in a season since 2009.
Here. The thing is, the Colts had T.Y. Hilton. They've got their top wide receiver. Now they've got Andre Johnson. They've got a couple of good tight ends. They've got depth in that passing game, and they do things a little bit differently there. New England's got Brandon LaFell, and that's pretty much it.
Well, Edelman, but he's a slot guy.
Yes.
Okay. And Amendola, who's slot guy light.
They've got Brandon LaFell as their only qualified outside receiver.
They must not have liked what they got out of their guys on
well, LaFell's banged
Saturday
up.
Saturday in the Dome.
LaFell's
yeah,
banged up.
That's
Edelman's
what, that's
banged
probably
up.
What it is.
Edelman's banged up. There's the rumor in New England is that they just brought Reggie Wayne in so Bill Belichick can get Andrew Luck information out of him.
I think there may be something to that as well.
Yeah, you never
oh,
know.
Right.
Look, is anybody going to draft Reggie Wayne? Probably. You know, people that yeah. are taking a flyer.
I'm the not. Same.
I'm not. Yeah. I don't think anybody in this room should. I don't think anybody listening to us should. But, you know, if we're getting into a three-receiver league that's 14 rounds, 15 rounds.
Yeah.
And you don't like what's on the board, and you're a Patriots guy, or, you know, think that he can be. They've turned, you know, reclamation projects into something before. They're doing it now with LeGarrette Blount. They've done it with aging running backs.
So Jeff Janis over Reggie Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Jamie, you took a trip last week. You already referenced it. What were the most important things you learned other than Andrew Luck is really, really amazing?
He's really, really amazing. The biggest thing for me was seeing that and taking into account that Alshon Jeffrey was not practicing. But Matt Forte, everybody's worried about him because of the drop-off, which is expected and I think going to happen, from 100 catches. And prior to Mark Trestman, he never had, I believe it's never had more than 60 catches. I think he got to 50s once. Or in the 50s, maybe more than once, but I don't think he's ever gotten into the 60s. Two of the three, I'm sorry, in the first drive, first team offense for the Bears against the Colts, against the Colts' first team defense. Three passes went to the running back from Jay Cutler.
This is in practice?
This is in practice. Two to Forte, one to Jacquizz Rodgers. And this was the first opportunity of this one-on-one matchup, which is essentially like a preseason game. And all throughout the 2 days I was there, all throughout every time that there was an opportunity, Jay Cutler, design plays, not, you know, scrambling around looking for a dump-off guy. Matt Forte. Adam Gase, the offense coordinator for the Bears, has said that you're going to see Matt Forte split out wide. You're going to see him used in a variety of different ways.
Did you see it there?
I didn't see it there. But if you look at his numbers, yards per catch-wise, prior to Trestman, higher than what it was with Trestman. So they're still going to use Forte in the screen game. They're still going to throw it to him out of the backfield. And that's such a significant part of his game because he had the last 2 years, 1,800 total yards and 10 touchdowns. He never had those numbers before Trestman. I think he could still be 1,500 total yards. I think he could still be 65-plus catches. I think he could still be 7 touchdowns. So I'm not as nervous as I was about Forte after seeing that.
He passed the eyeball test in the preseason game, and I'm sure with you,
he looks
too.
Smooth.
He looks smooth.
I mean, he really looks smooth, and I think this defense is still going to be bad. It's funny because they did it differently. Dave can attest this because he was with the Bengals and the Giants, and I was with the Redskins and Texans. Both those practices were side by side, so you got a chance to see offenses versus offense, defense versus defense. Bears and Colts did something different. They had they're on different sides of the building, so you had to choose who you're going to see. So I watched the Bears offense the first day, the Colts offense the second day. Bears offense, when I got back to the Colts side, they said the ball never hit the ground because the Bears defense was so bad.
Right.
The Bears, same thing. Colts defense is really horrific. So the Bears, and this is again without Alshon Jeffrey, ball never hit the ground. So they were moving up and down the field against each other both ways.
Eddie Royal. Absolutely, positively, the wide receiver.
Yeah, he didn't really do much in these two practices, but he's on the field a ton, which is understandable given the fact that Jeffrey wasn't practicing. Marquise Wilson suffered a hamstring injury in the preseason game, so that only is going to help Eddie Royal's case even more. And Cutler, look, if you look at the projections on our site and you look at what his history is, 4,000 yards and 25 touchdowns is definitely within reach for him, if not 30 touchdowns.
And I had him in the game notes from that game to talk about when we get to that.
Yeah.
I know the one thing Dave wants to know is how did Philip Dorsett look?
I talked to Philip Dorsett. He is extremely excited about his opportunity. Unfortunately, he suffered an injury in that preseason game, so hopefully he'll be okay. There's just so many parts of this offense. Dave alluded to it, you know, about Dorsett taken away from Fleener. He had a bad drop in practice, but they've had an opportunity because T.Y. Hilton was a little bit banged up, didn't play in the first preseason game. Andre Johnson is extremely excited about his role there. Dorsett, you know, ear-to-ear smile just about being drafted with Andrew Luck and what he can do for his career. So this is a fun offense, and it was really interesting to see how many people are just so excited to have a running back like Frank Gore. Do you know how many times they threw to their running backs last year?
Oh, boy.
Indianapolis?
Yeah, targets to their running
backs. A lot.
Or, excuse me. They're three main guys. So take away the fullback, you know, occasional, whatever the case may be.
I'll say 60.
60 targets to their running backs?
I'm going to say that's probably too low. I'll change it to 75.
75? What do you think, Keith?
76.
102 targets to their running backs. Okay. 80 catches for their running backs. And Ahmad Bradshaw had all 6 of their touchdowns.
Right.
So anybody that says Frank Gore is going to not be involved in the running in the passing game, think again.
Well, and Frank Gore was good in the passing game 2 to 3 years ago.
No,
even before
three of his first 4 years in the NFL, at least 43 catches with a career high 61. I would not be surprised if he gets back to 60 again.
Yeah, this is one of the big secrets about Gore, because the last 4 years he barely caught the ball. You know what San Francisco,
you know what his high was over the 4 years?
It wasn't. It was terrible.
28.
Yeah.
27.
Something low.
Yep.
Yeah, not good at all. Okay.
No, he can get over 30.
He's going to get over
50. He might
50
get to 50. Right, exactly.
If he's healthy. And I did speak to one of the Colts reporters. You're handcuffing Gore now, it's Dan Heron.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Heron's been working.
Do not be surprised, though, if it's Josh Robinson by the end of the year. They really like Josh Robinson.
Okay.
So Heron's the guy on draft that you must take him. I'm telling you, if you draft Frank Gore, because he's 32 years old and these guys, they do tend to break down. He's in great shape. He's going to be fine. Don't hesitate from drafting him. But please, please, please just handcuff him. It's worth the investment because this Colts offense is that great.
Yeah, I was worried that Heron wouldn't get that job. Remember that when I thought that he just kind of sucked? But he's the guy.
Yeah.
They like him in pass protection a lot. And that's something I think that both Josh Robinson and still Vic Bauer, they also like Vic Bauer a lot. You'd be surprised how much they talk about him.
We're going to do kind of a quick overview of preseason week 2. But first, let's get to the winners and losers, because Adam said that we needed to do that. And Adam said that he's still the boss even when he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, your winners, number one, Davante Adams. I think we've talked a lot about him.
Right.
The other two, Matt Ryan, Benjamin Watson.
Matt Ryan has led the Falcons on a touchdown drive each of his 3 series in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
He looks phenomenal. I think he's getting good protection from his offensive line. One of these games was against the Jets. They were without Muhammad Wilkerson, but still they tried to get to him. They couldn't. He's been on the money. He's making Leonard Hankerson look good.
Right.
So Matt Ryan, to me, I've got him ranked as a top 5 quarterback. I feel great about it.
Even with Roddy White maybe missing some time, you still okay with him?
Yeah, I'm still fine. Roddy White might only miss, like, what, 1 game at that?
I don't know.
Minor,
I mean,
elbow,
it's, yeah,
surgery. I don't know what it is exactly.
We'll have to ask Marone Berkson. He's Roddy White's personal
reporter. I would say that Roddy White, even if he only misses 1 game at the beginning of the season, he's got to be on the 10 most likely receivers to miss more games later, isn't he?
Yes.
Probably. He's probably set to miss at least 2.
So I was trying to...
Well, actually, I think Reggie Wayne bumped him down a spot.
I'm looking at average draft position. Matt Ryan now is the 7th quarterback off the board.
That's a steal.
Behind Big Ben, behind Russell Wilson, behind Breeze and Manning, and obviously Luck and Rodgers.
There's a lot of people out there that just don't want to draft him because the last 2 years,
his entire career,
right? He's had 1 great year, and the rest of it has been a little underwhelming. In the last 2 years, because of the offensive line and other issues, yeah, it's been tough. But as long as Julio's healthy and the line looks a lot better than it did before, he's going to have some good numbers. This will be his best year in the last 3.
Should be. Agree.
You agree?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Benjamin Watson.
He played, I think, every single snap with the first team offense in New Orleans. Targeted in the end zone twice. Caught one of them for a touchdown.
Tied for the team lead targets.
Yeah.
I
think he might end up being a very good, very sneaky late round pick.
Can I tell you one thing that I love about him? If you miss on all the elite tight ends, you know they play week 1?
Oh, Arizona.
And they stink against
the tight ends. Oh, yes. They were awful
so
last year against
tight
ends.
They've been awful in the Todd Bowles era. Now, maybe that changes now.
Right.
But if you are into streaming tight ends, I moved him up to 13.
Mm-hmm.
I would take him as the first guy if I miss on the starters that I like, because that'll be the first guy I stream. And if he stinks in a couple weeks, bye-bye.
Yeah, exactly. I was watching that game for Brandon Coleman,
mm-hmm.
trying to see if Brandon Coleman would be that guy.
He fell all over himself, man.
Yeah, I was far more impressed with Watson. And I'm not expecting him to have a lot of, you know, 6 for 70 yards.
He's not
type
Jimmy Graham.
Games. He's not, right. But he might be in the red zone. Might end up getting a bunch of touchdowns.
He could be what we thought Josh Hill was going to be.
Josh Hill was we're going to talk about our auction more tomorrow.
Sure.
Not going to do a whole podcast on it, but we'll do a partial podcast on the auction. But Josh Hill was taken in the auction today I don't believe Ben Watson was.
Yes, he was.
Was he?
He was.
After Josh Hill, though, right?
I believe so. Josh Hill was a $1 win by Scott White.
Yes.
And Sir Watson, a $1 bid by Al Melchior. So the fantasy baseball guys are all over New Orleans Saints tight ends. Watson went at the very end.
Well, you know why that is.
And Hill was the 91st player nominated.
There's no baseball teams in New Orleans.
Nah. Well, they got the Zephyrs.
The Zephyrs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them.
Look at you.
Minor league.
Marlins.
Yeah, my bad. All right, your losers. Alfred Morris. You're just so scared of this offense in Washington that he's a loser? Is that why?
Yeah, actually, I wrote Alfred Blue.
Oh.
And you didn't include the blue part.
I just put Alf.
Yeah, well, there's two Alfs.
Yeah.
I'm not going to act like I'm like the number one fan on the Alfred Morris bandwagon, though.
Okay.
Because the line looked bad, but they'll get better.
Okay.
But as soon as defenses realize, hey, RG3's back there, let's go after him.
So it's a bonus loser.
It's Alfred a bonus. Morris. Anybody named Alf.
All Alfs off the board.
Yeah.
Now tell me why Alfred Blue.
Because he stunk.
He's not good.
Preseason game. He's very much an okay player with a very good opportunity.
The thing is, yeah.
You're still taking him over Foster?
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with either guy if I can.
It's a bad opportunity for a guy like him. When we say it's a good opportunity, it's probably a lot of touches, but if you are a mediocre running back without very much talent in an offense surrounded by almost no talent, that is not a good opportunity, is it?
Well, he's going to have a few games if he let's just assume worst case scenario for Foster is that he's out the 8 games.
Okay.
That is was initially reported. Of those 8, I would say half he's going to get you double digits of fantasy points. And it's going to be the half that you can start him. It's going to be like 4. It's going to be like 16 carries for 45 yards and a touchdown. That's what'll be his stat line.
Yeah, I don't. I think if he plays 8 games, I think I would take under 4 games in double digits.
I probably would too if I was betting it. Yeah, okay. but I just think it's going to be like he'll have a game against the Titans where he scores a touchdown. He'll have a game against the Colts where he scores a touchdown. You'll play him the next week against the Jaguars and he'll stink. You know, it'll just be one of those situations where you never know when to trust him. And he'll be the most frustrating guy that you draft with a mid-round pick, and you're going to hate yourself.
The other problem is that if he goes 2-3 games and he's average in those games, the Texans can make a change and say, all right, Chris Polk, get in there.
Sure. What do we have to lose?
They don't care.
Put J.J. Watt at running back and give him the ball.
I mean,
he would be the best running back
on the
team. Okay. This is the point where you know Adam's going to listen to this tonight and grade me and grade us, and this is the point where he bangs his fist on the table because Joseph Randall was a loser.
Well, he hasn't played, and he's got this oblique injury that's keeping him out.
He played.
He played?
Yeah.
I thought he sat out the second preseason.
No, he played behind McFadden.
He had 7 carries for 30 yards.
Yeah.
Take that back.
Now, he did play, as you said, behind McFadden.
Yeah, he's been missing practice time, so I think they've been giving McFadden as a veteran the starting nod. So.
All right, so I'll take back that he didn't play. That's my fault for saying that.
Is he still a loser?
I knew that McFadden was ahead of him. Right. I knew that McFadden was like the big-time story there, and so that's what's hurting Randall is McFadden is healthy and he's getting in there and it could be a mess after all in Dallas.
Now, I actually like it because there's no way McFadden's going to stay healthy. Let's push Randall's ADP down and get him a better value.
It's going to have to get pushed way, way down for him to be a value.
No. To be a value, yes. To be better value than where he is right now. Third round is ridiculous.
Okay.
Don't take him to third round. Fourth round, love it.
That was the comment about me. I just did it again. I never realized that I did it.
What?
That is why I'm such a bad podcast analyst.
A bad what? What?
Podcast analyst. Because of my uncomfortable sighs and getting up in arms over things that don't matter. I just gave you an uncomfortable sigh over Joseph Randall.
The last 30 seconds is just...
Terrible?
Yeah.
Okay. How about people who already drafted?
Yeah, those are the biggest losers of all.
That's the biggest losers of all.
We've done it all, and there are others out there who've done it.
Well, you've lost Benjamin in one league in the podcast.
I lost Benjamin and... You know, the Jordy Nelson injury is going to affect Aaron Rodgers. I've got Rodgers in that league, too.
Oh, man, you're getting crushed.
Yeah, and this is the team that I started out trying to go zero RB with, and it's 14 teams. So my season's over already in the podcast.
Good year, Dave.
I lost Benjamin in our 2QB league. Mm-hmm. Now, thankfully, it's a 10-team league, so I replaced him with Steve Smith for what that's worth. I don't know if that'll come anywhere close to that type of production. I don't expect it to, but that was a league where I – waited on receiver. Benjamin was a guy I got in the fourth round.
Devontae Adams is probably on waivers in that league.
No, Chris Towers was smart enough to pick him up right away.
Oh, okay. Yes. That sounds just like Chris Towers.
Yes, but that's the only guy that I've lost. Have you lost any? You lost Jordy Nelson.
I lost Jordy Nelson. I don't think I had any Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah.
And I don't believe I had any Cam. So,
right.
And I think, I mean, as far as hurting Aaron Rodgers, we view him as the guy that it's not really – I mean, as long as he's got Randall Cobb, he's still going to be number
two. It's the age-old argument if you love talking NFL. Forget about fantasy, whatever. Does the quarterback make the receiver, or does the receiver make the quarterback?
Yes.
And so I grew up a Dolphins fan, and as much as I love Mark Duper and Mark Clayton, I'm pretty sure Dan Marino made those guys who they were. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if Aaron Rodgers can turn Davante Adams and Jeff Janis into – productive guys, and mix and match some of these other guys. But, yeah, Randall Cobb definitely gets a boost.
He's done it with Jordy Nelson. He's done it with Randall Cobb when they first came in the league. But it took a little while for both of them.
Right.
So
James
Jones
once scored 11 touchdowns with him.
Yeah, yeah. He did it with James Jones, too, but never 1,000 yards. We'll see. I don't know how quickly Adams can do it. The one thing that you have to like about Adams, by the way, 2 years playing at Fresno State, number one receiver both years, like over 1,300 yards and double digits in touchdowns each year, catching passes from Derek Carr.
Okay, Jamie, your winners, starting off with Chris Ivory.
I don't care about the touchdown.
Okay.
Throw that out.
Unimportant when I look at what Chris Ivory is. Three targets in that game. And this is a guy that we've talked about having stone hands. He doesn't have a track record of catching the ball at all, going back to maybe even high school, but definitely not in college. And Chan Gailey is a very good offense coordinator when it comes to running backs, and this is the guy they're pinning their hopes on. It's not Stephen Ridley. It's not Zach Stacy. It's going to be a little bit of Bilal Powell on significant passing situations. But Ivory's going to be their guy until he gets hurt. And you go back to the end of his New Orleans tenure, whenever he got carries, he was good. You go back to his Jets tenure so far, whenever he's got carries, he's been good. And they're going to feature him. And so this is a team that is not going to let Ryan Fitzmagic make his name for himself with the helium balloon leading the way. It's going to be run the ball as much as they can. And Chris Ivory, I think, is somebody you definitely have to buy into. He was somebody that, if there's one thing, which I don't really love my auction team, if there's one thing that I like, it was I was waiting out somebody like Chris Ivory, and I got him. I should have bid on LeGarrette Blount when he went for $4, but I got Ivory in the same range. Mm-hmm. And that was a guy that I said, okay, I'm going to get one guy that I like, and I got the Broncos backfield locked up. And then I went out and I got Chris Ivory. And he may be my second guy along with Amir Abdullah. Not the ideal situation, but I think
you can make it work to start the season.
He's going to surprise more people than you think.
Okay.
And then a lot of people are scared to draft him because he's not exciting.
And he's injury prone. He's a Jet.
Yeah. But there's potential.
You know, he's only missed one game in the last two seasons.
Yeah, but he's been banged up, hamstring problems over the course of that time.
I was just surprised to see that he played 15 and 16 games 2 years in a row. That's not the Chris Ivory that I remember. Okay. Number two, Charles Johnson. You don't have to convince me on Charles
Johnson.
The
apple of Teddy Bridgewater's eye. He is going to be good. I really am excited about him. Third-year receiver in a North Turner offense and a quarterback that's going to make him probably better than he even is. So I got him in the auction. This was another, you know, what I tried to do, and again, I don't want to, you know, take away from tomorrow, but I tried to get a lot of mid-level guys. And this was one of the guys, again, that I targeted. I'm really excited about Charles Johnson. I've had him ranked right around 25, 26. All year long, and I think he easily has top 20 potential.
You agree with that, Dave?
Absolutely.
Everything he said. David Johnson. Andre Ellington wasn't terrible in this game.
No, but David Johnson played, and he looked good. And I think, you know, if you were Bruce Arians, you know, there's a lot of things he does that are a little out there. Motivating his running back so far has been a good thing because, hey, you guys think, well, Andre Ellington all of a sudden got healthy. Hey, we signed Chris Johnson. Hey, look, David Johnson's healthy. He's on the field. And he ran well. He did it with the second team. Chris Johnson's got a hamstring problem, so that's only going to make David Johnson's outlook that much better. And if you're looking for these late-round guys, why not take a chance on the running back, on a good offense, behind a guy who's injury-prone like Ellington? So I love Andre Ellington. I still think he's going to have a good season, but I'm definitely taking David Johnson if I get Andre Ellington.
David Johnson or David Cobb?
Johnson.
Johnson?
Yeah, the Cobb love is fading.
Okay.
I'll take Cobb because I think he'll score more. I think their yardage will be somewhat similar. You're still counting on Cobb doesn't need an injury to get on the field because Stanky's going to struggle at times. Johnson needs Ellington to get hurt to be significant, but it's not far. They're very close. I think they both have a great upside.
Okay, David Johnson or Arian Foster?
Johnson.
Okay.
I don't want Foster until we know he's not on short-term IR.
Okay. This is the point where we're going to talk about your losers, but since we're talking about winners, we should talk about FanDuel because FanDuel makes all of us winners, and you know, we have a daily fantasy live, 4 p.m. Eastern every day, and we are starting today and this week to talk about week one strategy, NFL strategy. We're going to have some Dave and Jamie at some point in the upcoming weeks.
I already have three of my guys for my week one lineup.
There you go. Yes, give them to me.
Sam Bradford is my quarterback.
Okay. Atlanta.
Benjamin Watson is my tight end.
Okay.
And Davante Adams is my receiver.
Well, There we go. Now you just have to find the rest of your team, and you're pretty much
set. Because they're cheap. Those guys are all cheap.
Eddie Royal's going to be pretty cheap too, isn't he?
Maybe, but I only want to get one low-end receiver type. Royal can definitely be that guy for sure. But Adams is the guy that I would look at.
Well, you can see the prices because Week 1 games are already live in the FanDuel lobby. Start building your teams today. We have a great offer for you right now. For the first time ever, FanDuel has an early bird special. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use our code CBSPOD, and sign up now. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. And right now, FanDuel will give you a free entry into the Week 1 Million Dollar Rush Contest. With any deposit, that's a free shot at $100,000 cash for opening week. This is the best offer FanDuel will have all season, and it ends September 4th. There are limited spots in the contest, so be sure to use our code CBSPOD today. Don't forget, CBSPOD. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season.
Ding.
How
good
was that?
Job.
Thank you. Okay.
You
losers.
Read good.
Thank you. I've been working on my reading. Lamar Miller. Ouch.
I'm not afraid of Lamar Miller, but the Damian Williams taking away a touchdown is somewhat concerning because you have to look at it as they wanted a second guy.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted Jay Ajayi. They drafted Jay Ajayi. He fell on their lap, but they still were looking at somebody else to come in there. And they like Damian Williams on passing situations. They like him as a pass blocker. And I was shocked to see that Damian Williams, again, in this analyst league last night, I don't remember exactly where he went, but he went, I think, in a PPR league ahead of Danny Woodhead, which when I saw that, I was like, are you kidding me? It may have been the guy that took Lamar Miller and was just handcuffing him, which is fine. But I'm not buying into Damian Williams yet. I'm not backing off Lamar Miller. But if I'm seeing that, and again, the nitpicking at the top that we talked about, Peterson, Bell, Charles, Lacy, you start to get into that Miller, Ingram, Forsett, Group, Gordon, Gore, they all could be great, but now you're starting to see maybe a flaw, and it could be something that maybe knocks Miller down a peg or two. So I'm not backing off it just yet, but I am going to definitely pay close attention to it, and I'm going to see the Dolphins on Saturday against the Falcons, and I want to see how it goes.
Well, on the play in general and the drive in general, Lamar Miller got the Dolphins inside the five mm-hmm. on a big catch and run and then had two touches, couldn't get into the end zone, and then Williams came in to give Lamar Miller a break,
mm-hmm.
and Miller actually didn't get back on the field, I don't think, for the rest of the game.
I think he was done.
So Williams had a play before it, and then he scored on – there was a penalty in the end zone. They went for it on fourth and goal. They didn't get it, but there was a penalty on Carolina. Gave him first and goal at the one, and Damian Williams cashed in from there. Williams, when I went to Dolphins camp, Williams looked good. He's definitely the guy behind Lamar Miller. He's
right.
definitely the guy to get. You know, we talked about – Frank Gore and Boom Heron, mm-hmm. same exact thing with Lamar Miller and Damian Williams. Just a smart thing to do. I don't see it being a situation where Williams is going to come in and start taking goal line carries away. He's just giving Miller a break.
Speaking of goal line carries, that might be the only way Isaiah Crowell is fantasy relevant this year.
I've been saying that all along.
I think this whole team is bad.
Oh, yes, that's a fact.
The Browns are bad. But yeah,
dude, they've got Dwayne Bowe.
It's true.
They've got Brian Hartline.
True.
Rob Hausler.
Don't forget Terrell Pryor, everybody's favorite.
That's not be crazy.
He had the opportunity of a lifetime this offseason, and he's failed to take advantage of it. Now, maybe he still does. We'll see. But you got to be a little bit nervous about Crowell as somebody that could be significant. You know, where we were talking about it, I know Adam and I certainly, you know, Heath, I don't know exactly where you fell, but Dave has been anti-Crowell. I just don't know if there's any of these guys are going to be good. You know, Duke Johnson has a great opportunity to come in and steal the role, but that's if they use him as a featured back, which remains to be seen.
Crowell,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Crowell, I thought, was the best looking running back in this game based mm-hmm. on one good carry.
Hmm.
He had one really good
that's
carry.
That's all it takes.
Wes had more snaps, rather, 20 to 14. Wes started. Crowell didn't play the first quarter.
Yep.
I wonder if that was like for disciplinary reasons or
who knows.
Extended look at Terrence West, whatever. It's a mess.
Listen, so you're going to see them, right?
Dwayne Bowe has something to say to you. It's on CBSSports.com today, an article. I'm very,
he found
very
out I stole his pizza.
Yes, I'm very, very confident, Bowe
cheapies,
said.
By the way.
We
cheapies.
Have a talented core, our group. All it takes is time. We'll let the doubters doubt, Dave Richard. Okay, he didn't say Dave Richard. When we get on the field and work,
awkward if he did.
We know what we've got as a team, the chemistry. When week one comes around, we're going to show a lot of doubters how a high-powered offense really moves.
Well, who's the quarterback going to be again?
Josh McCown.
Oh, okay.
Were you worried about Josh McCown's two interceptions? Not really. That's what this is for. Find openings, new plays, new schemes to work on.
Dwayne's being a good team guy. By the way, Dwayne hasn't played yet. So as far as I'm concerned, he's like number one cheerleader for the Browns and not actually a major contributor.
Okay, Jamie, I jumped the gun a little bit with my Alfred Morris earlier, but you're going to save me because your final loser is the entire team, the Washington Redskins.
That team looks bad, man. They look really, really bad. And I know it's not a full fair assessment of the Redskins because you don't have Trent Williams playing.
Right.
Or did not have Trent Williams playing in the second preseason game. Alfred Morris did not play in the second preseason game. DeSean Jackson did not play in the second preseason game. That's probably their three best players. So judge it for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
But do you feel comfortable taking Alfred Morris at this point behind that offensive line? Or do you settle for Alfred Morris?
Yeah.
Do you feel comfortable taking DeSean Jackson? Or do you settle for DeSean Jackson?
DeSean Jackson doesn't worry me as much. We looked up what DeSean Jackson did last year with Kirk Cousins.
Much better with DeSean Jackson.
He was fine with Cousins.
But is Cousins going to be the starter?
Yeah, how soon till he's there?
And so I think you just got to look at it and say, how much value do these guys have? And so, you know, Morris, as we saw last year, grinded his way to about 1,100 yards rushing and, and seven touchdowns, one or six touchdowns, one 100-yard game for the season. And DeSean Jackson was very good, but it was with Kirk Cousins more so than RG3. So this team is just, you know.
That's not a very nice way to say it.
There's not a lot to like about it right now.
It was a really, really bad day. There was only one good Redskins player, Matt Jones.
Matt Jones.
Ran hard, ran with authority, had a steam type of running.
Well, I mean, the backup quarterbacks played well.
They did against the backups.
Right. Well, I mean, so Matt Jones was playing against backups for the most part, too.
That's true. But he looked good doing it.
Okay. Let's just do a quick overview of what we saw this weekend.
Sure.
And hopefully in some of these games there will be some stuff that you guys saw or thought was more relevant.
Yep.
Because a few of them I really struggled, and I think that's okay. Sometimes there are preseason games that happen, and the best thing that happens during those preseason games is that there's nothing fantasy relevant that happens injury-wise.
Right.
So the first one kind of falls under that. It was a kind of a gross slugfest, 14-13. The Chiefs beat the Seahawks.
Do we even need to, like, clarify who won or what the score is? That doesn't even matter.
Well, just to show that there wasn't really any offensive, the score part. I guess who won doesn't. It was a 14-13 game. There were three touchdowns scored in four quarters.
I love what Andy Reid did with his running backs. Let's not make Jamaal Charles run into that defense. And we're just going to use him as a receiver. So no carries. All they did was throw him the ball, and they let Niall Davis take a pounding. So nobody was worse for the wear, and you know what you have there. Jeremy Maclin scored a touchdown. The streak is over, at least when it comes to the preseason.
I don't think that counts.
But Alex Smith did throw a touchdown to a wide receiver for the first time in over a year. It was out of the backfield. Jeremy Maclin lined up as a running back.
Only guy I want to talk about from this game is Tyler Lockett. Three catches on three targets for 42 yards.
He was the third receiver with the starting offense.
Now, Chris Matthews didn't play.
Right.
Right.
Let's keep that in mind. So I think that's just something to keep an eye on. But, yeah, he's going to be somebody that's in the Jeff Janis conversation for sure.
Who? Which one? Lockett or Matthews?
Lockett.
I don't know if I'm drafting. I'll draft Lockett in leagues where return yards count.
Oh, without a doubt.
That's a no-brainer.
Okay.
But otherwise, I don't think I'm drafting him. The more I see of Jimmy Graham in Seattle, the more I think Seattle's going to come to their senses and say, you know what, we need to throw to him a little bit more. There was one play where Ron Parker, he's the safety for Kansas City, was draped all over him. And he still made a nice catch.
The one on the sideline?
I think that was it. I'm not sure. It might have been a little away from the sideline. But I there's a part of me that's starting to think that they're gonna start changing their tune, and Jimmy Graham's going to do more than we all thought.
Oh, I think that, yes. Let's move on. Jets in Atlanta. You liked Chris Ivory. You like Matt Ryan, obviously. You like Matt Ryan. One guy you guys didn't talk about from this game, Brandon Marshall. Four catches, 62 yards on five targets.
Played well.
I really feel like the whole Ryan Fitzpatrick situation makes him a better option this year. He's a borderline wide receiver too, right?
Right.
Yep.
I think the target that he didn't catch, like, hit the ground. It was a poorly thrown ball from Fitzpatrick.
Those will happen.
Yeah, those will happen. But we know that Fitzpatrick seems to lock in on one guy, and that's it. Once he finds his guy, he's just going to fire, and Marshall could be that guy. So I feel better about Marshall being a receiver that I fall into as a low-end number two receiver.
Now, I saw some talk this week, and I don't remember who it was from, so whoever it was, I'm sorry, but talking about how Eric Decker was a more explosive receiver and was going to be better this year than Brandon Marshall.
I don't know where you stand on this, Heath, but I know other analysts and other sites, because I see it with the drafts I do, they love Eric Decker.
Right.
I don't see it. I just don't understand how in this offense he can be even a number three guy for your fantasy team. If you get him as a fourth guy, like I got him as either a fourth or a fifth guy in our podcast league, I love that.
Right.
Give me that all day. Mm-hmm. But as a guy that may be part of my definite rotation in my lineup, I'll let somebody else deal with that. Because last year he was fluky. He had the one big game at the end of the season. And maybe it's Fitzpatrick does fall. Look, we saw Fitzpatrick have a ton of targets to both Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins last year. So he still can lock in on two guys, especially two guys that have a good pedigree, which these two guys do. But I'm not taking a chance on Eric Decker. I don't want him on my fantasy team unless he's just there at the end.
It's not exciting. Okay. He's not exciting. And, you know, he had a great week 17 last year that really padded his stats. And there are so many other receivers I'd rather speculate on.
Okay.
Why would I go for a guy who, for all of his great numbers, and, you know, he had a big 28-point fantasy game in week 17, finishes the 28th receiver in fantasy last year. I don't see it.
I'm not necessarily arguing. I just know, like Jamie says, on other sites, he seems to be a little bit more popular than
if you look at Fantasy Pros, his ranking is much, much higher than where we have him.
Right. Okay, Raiders and the Vikings. We already talked about Charles Johnson. He's the apple of Teddy Bridgewater's eye. Teddy Bridgewater, 10 of 14, 89 yards and a touchdown. Are we underestimating the likelihood that Bridgewater breaks out and has a QB1 season this year, Dave?
I don't know if we are or not. He's certainly in the conversation of quarterbacks to target late, though. And I don't know if that's changing. I don't know if he's in the conversation to start jumping over guys we have ranked ahead of him. Cam, Tannehill, Brady, Eli Manning. I don't know if he's ready to go into that next group.
It depends on the guys you like. If you're like, you know, still in the, I think Brady's going to be fine. I think Stafford's going to rebound. I think Eli Manning's going to build off what he did last year. Then you're not taking Bridgewater. But if you're in the new school quarterback stage of Ryan Tannehill's the next great thing and Bridgewater could be great. And I know Bradford, not age-wise, but certainly new offense-wise. These are the kind of guys you look for. And you just let quarterbacks go and go and go and go and go. And Bridgewater can be a great starter for you.
Okay. I'm going to jump around now because you're not looking at the list anyways.
Well, just Payne style.
Just with the Raiders. Great play with the 40-yard catch to Mark Cooper. That was nice to see. And Latavius Murray looks good.
Okay. The reason I'm jumping around is you brought up Eli. And we talked about Eli continuing what he did last year.
He's had a bad preseason.
Eli and Odell Beckham, too. Odell Beckham got 5 targets, no catches. Eli, 4 of 14 for 46 yards, his second straight stinker. And this is against the Jaguars. It's not like they're going up against somebody that we think is going to be good defensively.
Right.
They've been off twice now. We say the preseason, maybe they're just working rust off, right? Doesn't negatively impact how you feel about them?
No, I saw them practice for 2 days, and Odell looked good.
Okay. No concern?
No, but it comes down to that group of quarterbacks that you mentioned, you know, with Tannehill and Cam and Stafford and Brady. Eli is really, you know, depending on how you like it, in the middle of that or the top of that list.
I'm getting to where I think Tannehill is the top of that list.
I'm not far behind you. I think, you know, you just look at Eli, and there's going to be some moments where you have these.
Right.
You know, he's just prone to that. And then he has, you know, a 30-point game the next week because Beckham goes for 2 touchdowns. But it's just a matter of what you're hoping for. So hopefully the second year in this system should still be very good for Manning. He had a career-high completion percentage last year, did a lot of great things. You just hope that doesn't go away anytime soon, which I don't think it will. I think Eli's still going to be fine. But it's just, again, you're nitpicking when you get to who you like over who you don't like.
Allen Robinson, 3 catches, 64 yards in that game.
He's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be
a lot
really
of targets.
Good. Okay.
1,000-yard candidate for sure.
Broncos and the Texans. So it sounds like Brian Hoyer has won the starting job in Houston. It's a smart move. Is that good news for DeAndre Hopkins?
I mean, I'll maintain what I've said all along, that I don't think Brian Hoyer is a downgrade from Ryan Fitzpatrick. So Hopkins, what he did last year, should still be at the same level.
I don't know if I'm ready to argue this, but I think it's a slight downgrade.
It's fine.
I'm not feeling Brian Hoyer as
I don't think
as
Brian
a
Hoyer
kingmaker.
No.
And not even like a, you know, crown prince maker.
We know the one thing that Ryan Fitzpatrick, crown prince, yes. The one thing Ryan Fitzpatrick can do is lock in on one receiver and feed him over and over. And I don't think Hoyer's as good as him. I don't think Fitzpatrick. I always end up in the situation where I'm arguing that Brandon Marshall's better because he's got Ryan Fitzpatrick and DeAndre Hopkins worse because he doesn't have Ryan Fitzpatrick anymore. I don't like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You don't have to like Ryan Fitzpatrick to recognize that he's at least a decent quarterback. And Brian Hoyer had some good games with Josh Gordon, had a few good games with receivers last year. I don't know. Maybe DeAndre is going to be the best receiver he's ever worked with, and he's going to put up great numbers with him, but I don't like the chances of it happening.
I'll take my chances with that guy. He's talented.
Okay, we talked about Alfred Blue, and he was disappointing. Chris Polk, 7 carries for 36 yards, 5 catches for 34 yards.
How much of that came with the starters?
None.
None?
None.
None.
Okay.
Okay. There we go.
Maybe he gets a chance in their next preseason game.
Baltimore and Philadelphia, Nelson Aguilar, 4 catches, 49 yards. You guys just keep getting more and more excited about him, right?
Yeah. Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And Matthews looked great. I mean, he should have had a touchdown. Sam Bradford did what he was supposed to do. The running backs did what they're supposed to do. That offense is clicking right now.
I think, to me, we talked about Teddy Bridgewater being overlooked. I think Sam Bradford, and Jamie's got Bradford already ahead of Bridgewater in his rankings. I might be there too. And I've been bullish on Bridgewater all offseason long, but Bradford looks good. I just, you know what the risk is with Sam Bradford is the injuries. And when's the last time a quarterback in Philadelphia played 16 games? It was before Chip Kelly got there.
To that point, Tim Tebow, 10.3 yards per carry.
Well, you really got to worry about that.
I'll tell you this, though, about Bradford. He's not going to crack my top 12, barring an injury. He's the best guy to stream because they got a good matchup in week one against Atlanta. And if you're in a 14-team league, you take Bradford and Bridgewater back-to-back. There's nothing wrong with that.
I've liked Atlanta's D-line so far this preseason.
Oh, they're going to play better. I mean, you have Dan Quinn as the coach. He's going to definitely turn things around.
They're going to get better.
But it's still not as – look – the only thing that's going to slow down Philly's offense is Philly. I don't think there's a lot of defenses that are going to shut them down, completely shut them down.
Okay, Bears and the Colts. You saw this one. Jay Cutler, 8 of 9 for 69 yards. You mentioned there may be a chance that he's going to be a lot better than we're acting like he's going to be. Jeremy Langford, 9 carries for 80 yards and a score.
He is going to challenge Jacquizz Rodgers for the second spot. Clearly Forte is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you're going to see Forte come off the field for either one, barring an injury. But if you are concerned about Forte being 20, it's funny, I asked Forte about, he was glowing about Frank Gore. The guys, they took a picture together, and a lot of questions about their relationship. They actually trained together down here in Miami in the offseason. And I asked them, I said, you know, does he give you sort of inspiration as a 30-plus-year-old running back? He goes, hey, by the way, I'm 29. So I think you look at Cutler, and Adam Gase is very excited about him, and – you know, they lose Marshall. That hurts. But, you know, Royal is somebody that he's really excited about, you know, based on their history together when Royal was a rookie and Cutler was still in Denver. So this is why we tell you don't need to pick a quarterback in the first round. If you want to take one, go ahead. But you don't need to. Because if Luck is – what do you think Luck – give me projected numbers for Luck. Does he get to 5,000 yards?
No. But I'll say 4,500 and – 37 total touchdowns.
37 total touchdowns. We have right now in our sights, this is not my projections, Dave's projections, or Heath's projections. This is CBS Sports projections based on the algorithm and the numbers that we have. So it's an independent situation. 4,200 passing yards and 29 touchdowns for Cutler. That's passing. I don't know what his rushing numbers are. That's not a big drop-off for drafting Andrew Luck in the first round and Jay Cutler in the 14th round.
Right.
If he actually can get to that number, though.
Of course, Luck.
How
is
many
much,
times has he gotten to 4,200 yards?
Luck is much safer to get to that. I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, I mean, he had 3,800 yards last year, and it was a
and
miracle.
How many games was he benched for?
One.
That feels like Cutler's upside. The 4,229 feels like his upside.
Right, and he had 28 touchdowns last year, and that was actually a career high.
So
28 passing touchdowns for Cutler last year. So what did we project him for? 27, you said?
29. But again, if he played that 16th game last year,
he probably would have had 29 touchdowns
and 4,000 yards. 200 yards is not much for him to get.
Yeah,
and the defense is bad.
Patriots and Saints.
They were good on Saturday.
Yeah, it's because the Colts offensive line is pretty bad too.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo, 28-33 for 269.
I can't judge the Patriots right now. They don't have anybody playing for them.
Awful.
28-33 for 269 is not bad. That's
that
only
was
five
good,
incompletions.
It was very tepid. He threw a lot of short passes. It took a while to open up.
The Saints' first team defense is not very good. Their second team defense is not that great at all.
Right. They played lights out. They played that game like it was their Super Bowl. They were very impressive defensively.
Okay. By the way, give up on Drew Brees. Please give up on Drew Brees if you're so inclined to. I would like him to fall into my lap because he looked awesome.
How about Brandon Cooks?
Brandon Cooks looked awesome.
417-1.
Yep. Good player.
Yeah, love him.
Ingram catching the ball in the backfield. This offense is, right now, if you want to get excited about a team in the preseason, this is a team to get excited for. We talked about Watson. Cooks, obviously, is just continuing to live up to the expectations. Ingram, if he's going to catch the ball, last year he had 29 catches. If he can get to somewhere close to 40, because I know he thinks C.J. Spiller's never playing in the NFL again.
Forever.
That could only enhance his value, because that was the guy that they were using as their receiving running back as well.
Okay, Titans and the Rams. Bishop Sankey, 8 carries, 45 yards.
He looked good.
David Cobb, 8 for 26. Sankey now.
Yeah, but Cobb didn't work with the starters. He worked with some starters.
Right.
But that was
it. But Sankey did run against the starters.
Yep.
Yes.
He looked good.
We think Sankey's the favorite to start again?
Yes. Oh, he's going to start.
He's going to
start. It's just a matter of, you know, what are you expecting from him?
Well, it was last week there was speculation that Cobb was going to take the job because Sankey'd been so bad.
Well, the reports out of Tennessee are that they're going to still give Cobb more work over the course of the season than Sankey, and I would expect that as well.
Safest draft strategy is do not draft a Titan or a Ram.
Yes.
Yeah, that would probably be the case. Okay. I've heard from a good, reliable source that Sankey will begin the season as the starter, and the Titans are scared to have two rookies at quarterback and running back.
And wide receiver.
Well, yeah, but I think Kendall Wright will end up being a big-time receiver this year.
Chase Kaufman, 2 catches, 59 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Great throw by Mettenberger. He's just really putting himself on display to get traded. Unfortunately, they're not going to get what they need to get in return, which is probably a second-round pick.
Right. So he's going to be the backup to Mariota all year.
You can't get more than a fourth for him, can you?
No, that's what a team should offer. Right. The Titans, though, should reject that because as good as Mariota is, he's a rookie quarterback, he's never made an NFL start.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Finally, the 49ers and the Cowboys. Carlos Hyde looked really good. 7 carries, 39 yards. He's no Jarryd Hayne, though, right?
No. No Jarryd Hayne.
Jarryd Hayne was cool to watch. He's going to make that team. I really think
a special teams player.
Team. Yeah.
And the fourth running back?
Probably.
That would be nice if he did. Joseph Randall, we talked about him, 7 carries, 30 yards. Darren McFadden with a very solid 3 carries for 4 yards.
That's McFadden-esque.
But he's talking a big game.
Well, I don't think he really has. He just said they're going to split carries.
Which they are.
It might be an 80-20 split. I think we're going to save the emails for tomorrow. We'll do a mailbag and
auction review
and maybe find some way to talk about Adam's favorite picks when he's not here. Real quick, Jamie and Dave, because we got a couple minutes left. I did a little Believe It or Not last week, and Brady Quinn disagreed with almost every single one of these with me.
Okay.
So I want to get your opinions from a fantasy perspective. I'm wondering if he was just thinking from an NFL perspective.
Okay.
So the first one was the Redskins are going to be a disaster again.
Believe it?
Yeah, I believe that.
Okay.
From an NFL perspective, and then from a fantasy perspective, I think Alf will be okay and Deshaun will be okay.
Yep.
See, I think Deshaun's going to be okay. I'm getting more and more concerned about whether or not I can believe in Alf. It's hard. It's really hard. And we're talking about it as well in Houston. If a team's terrible, if a team goes 4-12, he had to grind out all those yards last year. It's hard to be a good, productive running back in that situation.
True.
Tyrod Taylor should be the starting quarterback in Buffalo.
Should and will.
Should, I don't know if he will. Because it's still Rex Ryan, and I think he's going to lean toward a veteran.
He's loved Tyrod Taylor for a long time.
Be interested to see what Tyrod Taylor looks like when there's actual game plan for him.
Well, and this was the one I think that upset Brady the most, was he really felt like the Bills needed to go with Matt Cassel. And that if Tyrod Taylor started, it was going to be bad for Sammy Watkins, it was going to be bad for LeSean McCoy, it was going to be bad for Percy Harvin.
I disagree with the McCoy part because running quarterbacks tend to help running backs.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily disagree with the Sammy Watkins part because that could be some inconsistent performance.
I enjoyed watching Tyrod Taylor play football.
True.
Against Washington.
It was against a bad secondary because no Joe Hayden, and for what it's worth, no Justin Gilbert, which may or may not have helped Tyrod Taylor.
Why did I think? Oh, yeah, they played Cleveland. But, yeah, you're right.
So
he made Deontay Thompson look good.
Sure. I just think that, you know, if a team throws something at Tyrod Taylor, for as inexperienced as he is, that could be bad.
Yeah, I just feel like, and he was arguing that Tyrod Taylor would be taking carries away from LeSean McCoy. I feel like if Matt Cassel starts at quarterback, even if they do cover Sammy Watkins and cover Percy Harvin, nobody more than one guy needs to be more than 10 yards away from the line of scrimmage, and they can all pretty much focus on McCoy. At least if Taylor's in there, they don't know which one of those two is going to run the ball.
Well, it's not like they're running the option, so I don't know if that's necessarily Taylor can still throw the ball.
He can throw it.
I watched the game with Pete Prisco, and so I like watching games with Pete because he studies quarterbacks very well. And, you know, the one thing he said, all right, let's see how he goes through his progression. And you could see it very clearly. He went, you know, 1, 2, 3, made the throw. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, made the throw. A couple times Pete doesn't like when quarterbacks get out of the pocket, but, you know, there's a couple times where he ran and, you know, probably shouldn't have. He's like, look, the pocket's right there, stupid. And so he didn't step up and make the throw that, you know, Pete thought he should have made, but it wasn't able to, you know, we weren't looking at what the coverage was. In any event, I just would be surprised if Tyrod Taylor is a starter for the Bills for 16 games. I think what Buffalo is probably going to end up doing, the way I would view it, is Castle's going to be the starter. He's going to have a very short leash. And the minute that he starts to struggle and they have, you know, maybe a two-game losing streak, you give Taylor a chance.
We get this gem of a quote.
Because their defense is ready to win right now.
From Tony Dorsett, DeMarco Murray may be in for a surprise. He had the privilege of running behind one of the best offensive lines I've seen in a long time. So we're going to see just how good DeMarco Murray is. Is DeMarco Murray in for a rude awakening? Believe it or not.
I don't know if I'd use the word rude. He's going to be in for an awakening because he's not the only show in town.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Matthews looked really good.
They think they're interchangeable.
Yeah.
Well, they probably are. I mean, and Tony Dorsett's not the first person to say that.
Right.
There were some former players for the Redskins talking about this when I was in Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Allen, I talked to Marcus Allen this offseason. He said the same thing. He said the same thing about LeSean McCoy. You know, you change systems. That's a tough thing to do for a running back, and it's not seamless. And you go from, again, the best offensive line in football last year.
Right.
We'll see if they're the best offensive line in football this year. It could be tough. But I think I've probably changed my thoughts a little bit on Murray. The thing that I can't get past is the injury. I really think that all the work from last year is going to come back to haunt him. I really do think that the best thing that the Eagles can do is to give Ryan Matthews as much work as they possibly can within a limit,
right,
to keep Murray fresh.
And then finally, Dave already answered this one on Friday, but Kelvin Benjamin's injury knocks Cam Newton out of the top 10 fantasy quarterbacks.
It's out of the top 12 for me.
Out of the top 12.
Mm-hmm.
So do you still think, I mean, you think it's going to hurt his running too? Because if he runs for 600 yards and 6 touchdowns, he's going to be pretty close to a top 12 quarterback.
I think he could be a top 10 guy. But, again, we're nitpicking when it comes to some of these guys.
And okay.
So I'm still a believer that Matthew Stafford's going to have a good year because Calvin Johnson will have a good year. I think Eli Manning's still going to play great because of what we saw last year with his receiving core. I think Tannehill takes a step forward, and I think he's going to be a little bit better than Cam. And I think Brady, for right now, barring the 4-game suspension holding, has a better chance to be better than Cam as well. Now, if Brady's out for 4 games, I'll put Cam back in my top 12, and he'll be ahead of Brady. But I think losing Benjamin knocks Cam out of my rankings.
Okay.
As a top 12 guy. He could easily be a top 5 guy because, look, Steve Smith, was he that much of a difference maker for Cam Newton all those years?
No.
He was good?
He was good.
Yeah.
He connected with him for 1,000 yards a couple times.
Right, but 14 rushing touchdowns that one year also was pretty important.
Yeah. They looked terrible against Miami, too.
Miami's going to be really good on defense, though, aren't
they? I think so.
Losing Ryan Khalil is going to hurt them, too, if he's out for any significant amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all looking bad.
You'll appreciate this because I know you watched a lot of the Raiders last year. At one point during the game for Oakland and Minnesota, it was Khalil Mack lining up against Matt Khalil. It was very funny. I was just on the radio.
That is hilarious.
And it was like, huh? What?
It just feels like there's so many bad teams, and I don't know what to do with all of them.
The Rams, to me, are the worst offense in the NFL.
I know. You said that. And
they looked brutal.
I left them out of my top 5 worst offenses in the NFL a month ago, and that may look silly. But I don't think we sounded silly.
It didn't look silly.
I think our Monday podcast without Adam went well. I think we should end it before something bad happens. Tomorrow, we'll have a mailbag. Tomorrow, we'll have an auction review, but
not too
long.
Did you like your auction team?
I love my auction team.
Do you like your Hawks team?
No. I mean, how can you be unhappy if you've got Jeremy Hill and Marshawn Lynch as your running backs?
Right.
But I paid a price for it. Paid quite a price for those guys and their backups.
That's a tease for tomorrow.
There is a tease. We will have lots more auction talk and a lot of redraft talk, too. Don't not click on it just because you don't want to listen to auction stuff. It won't be the whole thing.
It's players.
So, yes, it's players. And player news. For Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Heath Cummings. For Adam Azer, I'll say Jamie's name wrong. Goodbye.
Bye.